Hello everyone and welcome to our service today, and a very special welcome today for our lovely mums in our church. Happy Mother's Day to you, and we just pray that this will be a very blessed, very special day for you, and of course for everybody, that today will be a special day. Now today the message isn't particularly Mother's Day themed or anything like that, but we are going to be getting into God's Word, and that's going to be a good thing. So before we get into the Word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will be here with us today. With me as I'm here and I'm preaching, and with the church as they're there and they're listening, and they're hearing your Word. And we just pray that you might speak through me, that my words might not be mine but yours. We pray that you will speak into our hearts by your Spirit so that your Word will achieve its goal, that it will grow in us and help us to be more like you. And I pray that this time in your Word will be fruitful, that it will be encouraging, and that it will help to shape us to be the people you're calling us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we have been going through Psalms, and we've finished the Psalms, and I hope you enjoyed our little one-off sermon on 1 Kings last week, 1 Kings 19, but I'm not intending to make that a series. I'm not intending to start a series in 1 Kings starting from the middle of the book, but we might go back to 1 Kings sometime not too far in the future. So I've decided, starting this week, that we're going to start a new series in the book of Thessalonians. Now, Now, the book of Thessalonians, I've titled this series The Apocalypse Preparation Guide, and I haven't called it that because I think that we're in the apocalypse right now. In fact, everything seems to be going quite well, at least here in SA. But I've called it this because these two letters of Paul's to the church in Thessalonica, called 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, have a particular focus on questions about the end times and about the end. And they have a particular goal of helping Christians to endure through difficult times, to be able to survive whatever life throws at them and whatever life throws at their faith in Jesus, in order to help them to endure. And as I noted, particularly as a part of that, in looking forward, looking and being ready for the end, for the questions about the end times. And so, I don't know how many of you know, remember from our series in Acts, it was a little while ago, so we'll have a bit of a refresher. The letter starts not with questions about the end time, but with Paul giving thanks for the Thessalonians. Now, Thessalonica, which is where the Thessalonians were, was a city in Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece. It was a very important city. It was the largest city in Macedonia, and it was a big port on the sea, but it was also on a main road that connected Turkey to Italy. Obviously, there was some sailing parts involved in that. You can't walk very easily from Turkey to Italy. But there was a major road crossing Greece that this place was on, so it was very important, a very big city. And it was a place where Paul went to on his second missionary journey. Now, I don't want to say too much about that because Paul talks about that a bit in chapter 2, and I don't want to spoil my next sermon. I've got to leave myself something to say next week. But to cut a long story short, Paul had to leave Thessalonica much sooner than he wanted to. And so sometime while he was still on this same missionary journey, while he was still travelling around, he sent them a letter to check in on them, to encourage them as his allies in the gospel, to endure through the persecution that they were facing and to answer the questions that they had, given that Paul didn't have very much time to set up this church and to go over all the details of what Jesus has done for us. And so this is one of Paul's earliest letters. His earliest is the book of the letter to the Galatians, and then this is next, as far as we can tell. Written around 51 AD. And so as we get into the book, we see that it starts with Paul giving thanks to the Thessalonians. And I've just realized that I've gotten ahead of myself and I haven't got you to read it yet. So perhaps why don't we do that now? I'll get you to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's only 10 verses. And if you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to check out BibleGateway.com or the YouVersion Bible app. Alrighty. Well, as you would have just read, you see that this letter starts with Paul giving thanks to God for the Thessalonians' faithfulness. Paul is really overjoyed that even though he had to leave this church so quickly, even though he'd barely started setting them up. I mean, just imagine that you'd planted a church and less than a month later, all of the people, all of the leaders involved in the church plan had been kicked out. You wouldn't know what would happen. But Paul is really, really encouraged to hear that the Thessalonians have been faithful and he's been thanking God for them every day and remembering them in his prayers. And it was quite expected in ancient letters that you would start off with a little bit about your relationship with the person that you're writing to, and generally it was meant to be an encouraging and quite a thankful sort of thing. But before we go thinking that Paul is just meeting his obligations, well, first of all, this is the longest section of praise, of thankfulness in any of his letters, for the length of the letter. And we also note that his first letter he wrote to the Galatians, he completely left out the part where he was supposed to butter them up a bit first because he wasn't very happy with them. But he starts off really here giving thanks to God, and we, as I've noted, by that, we can tell that it's genuine thanks to God. And he's really thankful for their faithfulness and for what God has done among them. And we'll dive into that in a minute. And it's a good thing for us to think through, because so much of this chapter, so much of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 seems to us, well, it's like Paul talking to the Thessalonians and showing his thankfulness for them. And it's good to sort of read that, and it's encouraging to see a leader in the church being thankful for the churches that he's planted. But where does this speak to us? How does this apply to us? What should we take out of what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, given that we are neither Paul nor the Thessalonians? Well, one thing that it's good to be reminded of is that giving thanks is an important thing, and it's not just an important thing for the people that we're giving thanks for. The Thessalonians would have been very encouraged by Paul's thankfulness for them. But it's also important for Paul to stop and to pray and to remember that God has been using the ministry that he's been doing, and that these churches, including the Thessalonians, are the fruit of what Paul has been doing. And so it's very important for us to take time to stop and to give thanks for others, for other Christians who are faithful and who are doing the right thing, not just for their sake, but for our sake, to remind ourselves of the others that are out there. And so Paul starts off this letter by spending time in prayer, Paul notes that he spends time in prayer giving thanks for the churches that he's planted. And his praise goes to God, so he's not praising the Thessalonians directly, he's praising God for the faithfulness of the Thessalonians. And he's giving thanks to God especially for the work that's happening among them, for what's going on with them. He's very thankful for all that they're doing in faith and in hope and in love. We read in verse 3, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's thankful not just that they're doing good things, but that they're doing good things out of good reasons, out of love for God, out of their faith in God, and out of the hope that they have in Jesus. Paul, we have an impression that Paul is very anti-works sometimes, but Paul is very anti anybody saying that you need to do the right works in order to be saved, but Paul is not against works. Paul wants all of the churches to be doing good things, so long as they're not being done to earn salvation, but being done out of that genuine heart, that work that is produced by faith, that labor that comes from love, that endurance that comes from hope. And Paul is very thankful for their work. And as he notes, as we read, as it goes on, that it's not just their work, it's God's work among them that he's giving thanks for. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. So Paul is recognizing here that what makes the Thessalonians' work so special is that it's not merely the Thessalonians' works, but God is at work there. What is happening is what God is doing. God chose them. He says that in verse 4. Brothers and sisters, loved by God. What a beautiful description. We know that he has chosen you. And God has chosen them, and the proof was that the gospel came to them in power, and it came to them with the testimony of the Holy Spirit, saying, you know, testifying to each of them that this is God's word, this is true, this is the way to go, not the way that you had been going and following the idols and the gods of Thessalonica and of the Greeks, but this is truth. And so, well, we see that all of their works that God is that Paul is giving them thanks for flows out of what God has done among them through Paul and Timothy and Silas, how the gospel came to them through Paul and Timothy and Silas, and it came in that power and that witness of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul gives thanks. He gives thanks that the work that they've done there in Thessalonica has reaped a reward, that they've established a church that is continuing to be faithful, that is continuing to do God's work. And likewise, we as Christians, we not only should, but it's good for us to spend time giving thanks for others and for their faithful work and for the work that God is doing through them. And to remember that the things that have affected us, the good things that that we've experienced in our Christian lives is not just the works of people, but it's God's work. And there's ways that each and every one of us, that we have been blessed and affected and just encouraged by the works of other Christians, even outside of our church community. We know that in quite an important way, our church is thankful for the faithfulness of the Salem Baptist Church, who planted a Sunday school here in Birdwood over 100 years ago, which is the foundation out of which our church has come. We're thankful that, and we've been affected by being in this, well, being near the City of Churches in the colony of South Australia that was founded on a foundational principle of religious freedom. So that from the very early days of our state has been a place of safety for those who wanted to come and faithfully worship God here. We know that we've got other things, that other faithful people that we can give thanks to God for what they've done for us. Each and every one of us have people that were involved in the journey that brought us to faith, For some of us, it's parents. For some, it's grandparents. For some of it's friends. For some, it's just somebody that God brought into our life for a season that opened our eyes to begin wrestling with these questions of faith. We've been blessed by Christians who have written songs. So many of the songs that we sing here in church, well, all of the songs that we sing here in church were written by people outside of our church. And we are encouraged and blessed by that. And we're encouraged and blessed, and we're very thankful for those first few weeks where we weren't able to meet together, that we could access songs on YouTube. And we were blessed by Christian artists who had put those things on YouTube so that we could worship together with them. We've been blessed by Christians who have written books that have encouraged us and stirred us on in our faith. There are so many ways, many of which we wouldn't even realize, how the faithfulness of other Christians, some of whom we don't even know, have affected us, have made this church a reality, have led us into our faith in Jesus. Where there is so much that we can be thankful for in what God has done through other Christians. And if we can't think of all the concrete examples, we'll just think, how different would things be if we were the only church in the Torrens Valley? If we were the only church in South Australia? If we were the only church in Australia? How would that make us feel? How would we manage? How would we go about our lives differently as a result of not having that fellowship and support? And even if we don't know of these other churches, even just having access to some of the things that they provide makes so much difference to us. And so it's good for us to take time like Paul does. Like Paul does every day, or I should say did every day, that he gave thanks for faithful Christians and the faithful work that they had done, or perhaps that we should say that God had done through them. But in the end, Paul wasn't just thankful that the Thessalonian church had done a few good things. If we read from verse 5-7, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, the regions around them." Paul was thankful not just that the Thessalonians had done a few good things, but that they'd seen Paul's example and that they'd put it into action. Not that they'd done a few isolated works, but they had committed to a whole lifestyle. That they'd committed to the same cause that Paul was committed to. That the name of Jesus Christ would be known and that he would be worshipped on every corner of the earth. And we see that Paul says that the Thessalonians, in doing this, they weren't just being imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy, but they were being imitators of the Lord, of Jesus himself. And that they'd imitated Jesus in their faithfulness, even in the midst of great persecution. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And that's following in the example of Jesus, who went about with his ministry, his life, and most especially his death, not being afraid of the persecution that came, but committing himself fully to the cause which for him was to rescue us, sinful humanity, from ourselves, from our sin, to bring us forgiveness of sins, and to lead us to life everlasting. And so we see Paul giving thanks that the Thessalonian church have been imitators of Paul and of Jesus, that they've become like apprentices. And when you go and you get an apprenticeship, you know that you learn a lot more than just how to do a few parts of the job, but you learn whatever trade that you learn, you do your apprenticeship in, you don't just learn a couple of skills. But what you're doing is you're going aside somebody who does this work and you're learning the work from them. And you learn generally not just the skills but attitudes. You learn ways of thinking and ways of going about things and attitudes towards things from those that we follow. In the same way, we look at coaching, and particularly in individual sports. If you want to be really good in an individual sport, then you want to learn from somebody who's played that sport at the top level and who knows what they're talking about, not just somebody who's read a couple of books. And so we see this picture here in 1 Thessalonians of imitators, of apprentices, learning to be like Jesus by learning to be like Paul, by learning from his example. And that really is what the Christian walk is all about. It's about becoming more like Jesus. Jesus came to bring us salvation, to bring forgiveness of sins and a hope of eternal life. But that salvation doesn't come from just intellectually believing a few things. And that salvation doesn't come from just doing a few good works. But Jesus has carved a way of salvation. And that way is open to anybody who will follow him and follow his example and take up their cross and follow him. That's the way that leads to salvation. But the truth is, as it was for the Thessalonians, that we can't follow Jesus like Peter and Matthew and John and all of the other 12 disciples were able to follow Jesus. Jesus isn't still around offering discipleships in that same way. And so the Christian life is a big game of follow the leader. Jesus led Peter and John and James and all of the others. And then they led the early church. And Jesus led Paul in a very particular and special way by calling him on the road to Damascus. And then people followed Paul and his example. And then those that Paul had instructed instructed others and instructed others and instructed others until it has come to us today. We're following the followers of the followers of the followers of Jesus. And it's very important for us, as I've noted in our outline today, that we learn from the best, that we make sure that the people that we're following, the Christian leaders, the people that we learn from, the books that we read, the songs that we sing, come from those who are following Jesus, that they're following faithfully. And we see that by checking their teaching and their beliefs and their example against what Jesus has said. And we find faithful and true and wonderful Christians who we just can see God's work in them. And we learn from them so that we can learn to be more like Jesus by learning from their example. And we learn from them how to be like Jesus and how not to be like Jesus. That being like Jesus is not necessarily about going to the Holy Land and becoming an itinerant preacher, but it's about self-sacrifice, and it's about love for others that puts others above ourselves. That it's about faithfully proclaiming the word of God strongly, not compromising God's word. but also preaching it in love and showing love to those who are sinners, because that's what we are. And we know that the message, the hope that Jesus gives us, is a message of forgiveness for sinners, not reward for those who are good enough. So Paul gives thanks for the work that God is doing in the Thessalonian church, and he gives thanks that they're following the example of Jesus that they've learned through Paul. And we finally see Paul finishes this chapter with a comment that I think every single church would love to hear. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, that is Greece. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from idols to God to serve the true and living God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. How much would you love to hear something like that said about our church? That not just the couple of regions around us, but that our faith has become known throughout the entire church, across the entire world. And we know that Paul is not the type to butter people up and to flatter them. But he wanted the Thessalonians to know that their faith really was an encouragement to all around them. And it's a reminder to us that no church is an island, that no church is completely separated from the wider church, the universal church, the church of faithful believers that has been made up of people from every nation, tribe, and tongue throughout every time from the time of Jesus till today. And he wanted the Thessalonian church to know that what was happening in Thessalonica wasn't just affecting Thessalonica, but it was having ripples throughout the entire church. He wanted them to know that their faith really was an encouragement to all around them, that everyone was inspired by how they had stuck firm to the gospel that they had not known for very long at all before persecution arose against them. But they'd held on firm. And how great would that have been to know the encouragement that they were being to the rest of the church? It's encouraging to know that things that we do have a wider impact than we know. And this is just a very small example of that, but it's been very encouraging for me to know that there have been some people outside of our church family who have been tuning into this every week because for some reason or another their churches are unable to provide services at this time. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we can be a blessing to the broader church and not just to our local congregation. It reminds us that even in a time where we're all isolated and we're all separated to some degree or another, no church is an island. And Paul was separated from the Thessalonians when he wrote this letter. But you can still feel the love and the joy that he has for the Thessalonian church coming out of the page. Just because we are separated doesn't mean that we can't have fellowship, that we are truly isolated from one another, because we're not. God is still here with us, binding us together with love. And we know that we all belong to a home church, and that is a good thing, that we all have a church that we call home. For most of us, it is this Birdwood United Church. And that was exactly the same as the Thessalonians had. They had their church that they were a part of and in which they did their ministry and encouraged one another and used their gifts to support one another. But we're all part of a larger church as well that goes throughout all the world. And we're reminded, as the Thessalonian church was reminded here, that faithfully following God affects others in ways that we may never know. If Paul hadn't told them, they may never have known what an impact that had on the churches around them. And it's like all of those things I said earlier about how those different ministries and people have touched us and have blessed us through things that they've done. And some of them might not know who Birdwood United Church is. And they might not know who any of us are. And yet they've still blessed us through their book or their songs or through their foundation of a place where people can live in religious freedom. And in the same way, there are things that we do in this church that we may never know how big an impact they have, even if it's just on one person, or even if it's on a few churches. But faithfully following God affects others in ways that we may never know. And it can affect others without us necessarily even meaning to do anything or realizing how we've affected others. And it's the same not just in churches but in our personal life, in our workplaces, in our sporting clubs, in our homes at the minute where we're spending a lot of time together. Our personal faith can affect others if we are faithfully following God in ways that we may never know. And as Paul points out, this reminder that we're not alone, but that we have a lot of other people alongside us, that we have others faithfully following God, reminds us of the heart of this calling that God has called us to. As he's writing about all of the churches reporting how they've been encouraged by the Thessalonians' faith, so they tell how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. When we see churches growing across the world in persecuted countries, in places where it's not easy to be a Christian, it reminds us of, it reminds us that a lot of the things that we take for granted or that we get hung up on aren't that important. And it reminds us of what is important, that heart of the gospel, that we serve God, that we turn from anything else that might draw us and we serve God, the true and living God. And we wait for his Son from heaven. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a few weeks, what it looks like to wait for Jesus to return. And whom he rescued from the dead, or whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. What a calling that is. Serve God and wait for Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. I hope that you've been encouraged that even though these words were from Paul to the Thessalonians, that they're also part of God's word to us. And they encourage us to be thankful for other faithful Christians and the difference that they've made in our lives. That they have to be thankful and to follow the example of good and godly Christian leaders and to so that we might be more like Jesus. And to remember that when we faithfully follow God, we will not always know the impact that it has, but we see that it can have more of an impact than we could ever know. I'm going to pray now. And as part of that, I'm going to pray for some of those Christians and groups that have touched and blessed us. And I hope that after this that you can take some time and pause the video and just spend some time praying for those Christians who have had a real influence in your life and been an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have done great works in this world through faithful people. We just want to hold up to you and give thanks to you for the faithful people by whom our church exists, by whom we've come to faith. And in a minute, we might take some time each individually to pray for some of those people who've really affected our lives. And we just want to say thank you, God, for them and for the incredible work that you've done through them. And God, we pray that you would make us to be like them. And in doing that, that you would help us to be more like you, like Jesus. That we would faithfully follow you in every day of our life, so that just as those people have had an impact on us and led us in the faith, that we might also have an impact on others and be a blessing to others, that you might be able to do your work through us for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to finish with these words, very familiar, very beautiful words. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.